Okay, we are in heavenly places. Amen. We're on page 261. I like saying that. We are in heavenly places. Whenever we're in prayer or whenever we're walking right with the Lord, when we're staying on that path, we're in heavenly places. So amen and amen and amen. I got in a conversation today with a woman. I didn't know. Well, I kind of discerned it was a woman, but then, of course, I got confirmation later when she started talking about her husband. In regards to saying that I need to read this, I need to know this, I need to know that. And I says, you obviously haven't stopped by the website, have you? Because she was saying stuff that I have had on my website for years. Like, for example, stating something to the effect that the Pope is going to make himself loved. It's not going to be easy to come across as a tyrant and attack and build his... it's going to look like that for real Christians, yeah, because we know the prophecies. But the most... the grand majority of the people out there are going to look at it as, oh, wow, what a loving act, you know? It's just like with this thing, and I don't know, did I put it on the site today? Let me just check real quick. Because I did a write-up on this the other day, and I didn't put it on because it wasn't really time-sensitive, because I've got other stuff that I got to get on the site. Oh, no, I did the refugees crisis hits prime time, but Christians left out in the cold. I did that one because of Obama ignoring the plight of Christians, but helping every Muslim he can get his hands on. But, which is, no, you know, I don't mind, you know, you should help the Muslims, you should help the Christians, you should help the Buddhists, you should help them all, you know, but no, he's making a point here. But yeah, they're setting things up right now to where the Pope can stand as one who's going to swoop down and help 100,000 people. It's all in his hands in regards to some refugees. I say, oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. This guy, well, this Vatican, because this guy's only been here a few years, but the Vatican is... literally set the stage so that, and I've been saying this 30 plus years, that they're going to allow the presidents to get worse, 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 and worse, and worse, so that by the time the American people are going to demand someone religious or someone holy in the White House, right? And who will shake hands with the Pope, and he'll come up smelling like a rose too, and everybody's going to love his ideas and say, oh, why did we think of that before? They're going to give back the people their homes. They're going to give them back their jobs. They're going to give them back society's going to look so wonderful. Oh, everything's working better now. Oh, yeah, your bank accounts are, everything works better with the digital money or whatever the case may be. Everything's going to be all wonderful. The devil's only doing that for two reasons. Number one, to make the Pope look good, and number two, to make us look worse. And to make it that much more difficult for us to try to talk to these people. Because they're going to say, what are you kidding me? You're sitting there slamming the Pope. This guy's a saint. He's a living saint. Look what he's doing. You know, so it's not going to be easy. But that was prophesied. And that's one of the reasons for the latter rain. Because it's not going to be very easy to explain these things to people unless you have a double portion. The outpouring. And so stay on that path. Stay in the Word. Yeah, amen. Yeah, good evil and evil good, exactly. And yeah, amen to that. The elect cannot be deceived. So, and we all know where those guillotines are. So, this one here, for page 261, we are in heavenly places. It's titled As Steadfast as Daniel, and it's dated for, of course, today, September 11th. And it starts off at Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Isaiah, by the way, is the only book in the Bible that starts with the letter I. It's because I use a computer a lot. So anyway, it says, for the Lord God will help me. Oh, yeah, that's the point I was making. Because she's saying, this woman I was in a conversation with on YouTube, yeah, I got to know this, I got to know. I says, okay, first of all, I know all this. Nothing new. And I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. I says, I've been preaching this stuff 30 years, or 31, actually. But telling the people this stuff that don't know about it is going to have to be shared in a way as to not, you know, cultivate fear. Because as Isaiah says, for the Lord God will help me. We know this is supposed to happen. Now, the only problem is you get people that just find out now, and they got to go out there and tell everybody, you know what's going on. Do you know this? You know that? Yeah, well, some of us do. Yeah, we know. We've known this for years. But there's a lot of people that don't yet. And so they're going to go out there like flash in a pan, and they just... scared the daylights out of some people. And that's not a very proper approach, because it can be scary. It can be overwhelming when you realize that we really do have overwhelming evidence that Jesus Christ is going to crack that sky pretty soon. So, for the Lord, God will help me. So we don't have to... In other words, I was telling her, yeah, all this is going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, but you got to keep in mind that they can't do thing one without our Father's permission. And 1 Corinthians, I didn't mention 1 Corinthians 10:13, but it's pretty clear. He's not going to allow anything to go down that we can't handle. And he's not going to allow it to go down until we're ready. And when it does go down, we are his children. He is going to help us. That's why it's going to be so fearful for those that don't trust him. It's going to be fearful, yeah. But it's going to be for those that really aren't walking where they should. And even those that are walking where they should, yeah, it could be considered scary for some. But I can remember Huss singing during his trial when they were burning him alive. I can remember the testimony of one of the sisters, I think from Europe, was talking about this last week. I shared in regards to that. And this was recent, a year ago, maybe less, where that one Christian was brought out there in the dead of winter, and two soldiers on each side of him, and they were all bundled up because it's so cold out, and they were just holding him out there in the winter weather with only his underwear on. And it was so cold that the soldiers had to keep changing guards because they couldn't handle the cold. But he's standing there in his skin with just underpants. But yet he declared, after it was all said and done, that he was just as warm as rolled up in a blanket because there was a nice warm, he described it as, I don't know, like a liquid warmth coming up from the planet or something. I don't know if that was the correct words. But it was warm coming up from the planet and keeping him perfectly toasty. And so, again, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. You know what a flint is? It's one of the hardest rocks there is. That's why you start fires with it. You strike them, spark comes off. You don't change the flint much. And so I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Isaiah 50, verse 7. She says, the youth have an example in Daniel. And if they are true to principle and to duty, they will be instructed as Daniel was. As the wisdom of the world viewed the matter, he and his three companions had every advantage secured to them. But here, their first test was to come. Their principles must come into collision with the regulations and appointments of the king, just like ours are about to happen. Some of us are going to end up behind bars because we refuse to do that and refuse to do this. Because the government says you must. I mean, look at that Christian couple. Okay, granted, they're Sunday keepers. They don't get it all the way yet, but they're trying their best, and the Lord allowed them to be tested where they were tested. But they were fined $135,000 for refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual couple. And then when Christians from around the world tried to help them at GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com, I guess it's called, they were able to generate the $135,000, but GoFundMe shut it down. And they just did it again. What, last week or the week before? Last week, I think it was, when Kim Davis ended up in prison for refusing to marry homosexual people in Kentucky. Even though that's what she signed on. She signed on back when she got on, was elected. Part of the Constitution, the Constitution of Kentucky declares it's a man and a woman. And so she was just standing true to her oath anyway. They didn't change the oath. Federal can't supersede state. This just can't be done. But this is what they're trying to do. And so she ends up behind bars, and then a bunch of people raise a bunch of money to help her out with her bail, and they shut that down too. So GoFundMe is, not going to work. Cry unto the Lord. And see, that's what also amazes me here with this whole thing. You see Obama going out there help all the Muslims. And I could just see, like I said in my little statement today, that it's kind of like the Lord saying, hey, you're up against the wall. Remember me? Because they look around and no man's there to help them. All these Christians are feeling like they're nothing but a pile of little islands and no one hears their plea. But he does. Why don't you just acknowledge him as God? He'll be there for you. She says they were to eat the food placed upon his table and drink his wine. Remember that? Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And it says that, of course, in Daniel 1:8. This request was not preferred in a defiant spirit, like, hey, you know, like for example, the Westboro Baptists. You can just see them with a big old sign standing out. The king's a jerk. He's a loser. He's a lowlife. He's a pagan. He's a devil worshiper. You know, that's what they would do. So this request was not preferred in a defiant spirit, but was solicited as a great favor. Daniel and his companions were courteous, kind. Oh, this just fits in well for tomorrow's sermon. Actually, last week's too. But Daniel and his companions were courteous, kind, respectful, possessing the grace of meekness and modesty. So I go mixing words together again. I read too fast. And now, as Daniel and his fellows were brought to the test, they placed themselves fully on the side of righteousness and truth. They did not capriciously, but intelligently. They decided that as flesh meat had not composed their diet in the past, neither should it come into their diet in the future. And for those of you that are going to end up behind bars, you're going to see that pork chop the first morning on your plate. Use it as a doorstop. It'll get nice and hard pretty soon. Just don't eat it. Well, I'm going to get hungry. Oh, really? You think? Just remember that little cat that used to come and feed that that one Christian. And the cat was actually the jailer's cat, bringing him food. Somehow, some way, the Lord will get you the food you need. I remember a young man who found the truth in prison was telling me how all of a sudden he just said he can't eat this and he can't eat that. So they let him pick what he wanted to eat. And he gained weight, which was, well, that's bound to happen, you know, because you're, you know, not a lot of exercise behind bars. In these county jails, anyway, they don't have, like, prison yards with the weight machines and stuff. So anyway, and it goes to say that, and as the use of wine had been prohibited to all those who would engage in the service of God, and so many like to say, well, that just wine, yeah, well, that could have just been grape juice, or he offered it up to idols, and it wasn't fermented, and that's why it would defile. Well, here you have it. She says, and the use of wine had been prohibited to all those who should engage in the service of God. They determined that they would not partake of it. Daniel and his companions knew not what would be the result of their decision. But still they had to do it, right? She says, they knew not that it would cost them their lives, but they determined to keep the straight path of strict temperance, even in the courts of licentious Babylon. The good behavior of these youth obtained for them favor. They rested their case in the hands of God, following a discipline of self-denial and temperance in all things. And the Lord cooperated with Daniel and his fellows. I don't know why that always reminds me of the $5,000 fine that was wiped off and case dismissed on me, but it's just when you make that decision, I mean, when you really make that decision, hey, whatever happens, Father, if this is where you want me to be, I will be there. As scary as this may seem, this is where you want me? Fine, I'll be here. And then all of a sudden it completely turns around. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming, but that's just how we work sometimes. And then she finishes by saying, these particulars were placed on record in the history of the children of Israel as a warning to all youth to avoid all approach to custom and practices and indulgences that would dishonor God in any way. And just look at some of the laws that are on the books here in the U.S. You can kill your baby. You can get mine, you know, bogglingly drunk, legally, you can get married to same sex. Pretty soon you'll be able to get married to children, and pretty soon you'll be able to marry animals. Because the direction they're going, it's just obvious. I mean, before they could even push pedophilia into the society, I would have to think bestiality is going to have to come first. And we've been saying that for years, more than a decade, in fact, and now look what they're doing. You know, the homosexual marriage came first. Well, first they had to make homosexuality look okay, so Hollywood got out there and put out all those Will and Grace kind of sitcoms and movies and making the homosexuals look funny and jovial and very tolerant. Now look what they, you know, I mean, look at that. Isn't that strange? In order to get the ear of the politicians, they demanded the Christians to be tolerant. And now that they got the ear of the politicians, they demand that they must now be intolerant. See, that's where they messed up. It's just like Goliath stepping out there saying, send me a man to fight. when in fact everybody, including Goliath, knew God fought for Israel. And so the people of this world that declare, let us do what we want, ignore what God says, they're about to find out the hard way. So, these particulars are placed on record in the history of the children of Israel as a warning. I repeat, to all the youth, to avoid all approach to customs and practices and indulgences that would dishonor God in any way. So, hope and pray you were blessed.